to Choreograph Your Life. If you are here for your midweek pickup, you are in for a treat today. I have a firecracker on my hands. She is a dance educator, casting manager, a mom to two superhuman beings, and one of my very best friends in the world. Here with me, I have the one, the only, Amanda Recco Downing.
Yay. Here I am. So excited.
Hi, Amanda.
Hi, Kelly D.
Thank you for being here in this lovely hotel room in St. Louis, Missouri.
I mean, it is five star here.
It is.
Only the best for you.
Which five being the number episode and five being what I think might be your favorite number. Would you like to tell us why?
Well, I am the five and alive girl. I like to be hype all the time, and I'm constantly at a five. I always like to say, on a scale of one to five, show me on your hand where you are today. One being you have poison ivy on your junk. And five being, for me, it's Bruno Mars just walked in the door and was like, hey, you want to go on tour with me? And I say, yeah. So
that would be a five.
That is definitely a five.
You live your life at a five every single day.
Every day. I am definitely a half glass full, find the positive in everything, and try to be five and alive at all times.
I can attest, as your best friend, that you are, in fact, a five. Some days, I actually would prefer to put you out. Because I need you at like a one some days.
I mean, you are not the only one.
My husband
would say the same thing. I'm going to need you to be a solid
bless
two.
Bless his soul. I'm going to need you at a solid two.
And I'm like, no, fives, fives, fives. No. Always fives.
That's such a great way to read the room, though. Like, whenever you – so what she's talking about is whenever she comes into an audition – or not an audition, sorry, a rehearsal. When she comes into a rehearsal – and she's working with a cast or a group of dancers or whatever the case may be that particular moment, she asks them at the beginning of the rehearsal, where are you on a scale of one to five? So she kind of knows, like, who she's dealing with.
How to gauge the room.
Yeah.
And it helps with I ask in three different realms. I ask, how do you feel one to five emotionally today? How do you feel one to five physically? And how do you feel one to five as far as your show or the piece that we're working on? And that way, if someone's at a two emotionally, I know that yelling at them and saying, 7, 8, no time for 5, 6 would not be a good – this isn't today for them.
Yeah.
Like, maybe lay off, and if their leg isn't the highest, it's probably because something is happening behind closed doors. And we as performers are very, very emotional people.
Mm-hmm.
Very hard to not wear your heart on your sleeve.
Yeah.
And we play pretend for a living. So when you actually are able to get inside their brain as a, like, how are you really feeling? Like,
yeah.
You don't have to be fake right now. Emotionally, that helps me gauge them, where they're at. And then physically, we're in a very demanding sport. We're a very demanding job.
Yep.
Constantly moving on the go. And a lot of the times, I think you can attest to this, we try to warn our dancers and performers to take care of their bodies because
yeah.
Back in the day when
Wait,
we were performing.
Let's go back in time.
It was rub some dirt on it and keep going.
For sure.
And it was a pride thing. And no matter if you were hurt or not, you were going to have to take me off stage kicking and screaming. And now as a 38-year-old woman, I'm like, ouch. That hurts.
I
never thought that was going to hurt. And now it does. So, and it's because I didn't take care of my body. So I like to see if someone's at, you know, a three or below, I say, what's going on? And if they're like, I got this thing, I'm like, all right, I need you to not do X, Y, and Z today.
You know, you and I are similar in that we actually care about people whenever
yes.
we're working with them.
That's why I do my fives. I care about everybody.
And that's really special because that's not always the case. I mean, you performer types out there, or people who have been on teams or whatever before, you know that you walk into some situations and the coach or the choreographer or whatever, like, doesn't care. Like, they're there to do a job. And
right.
You do care about the people.
I do.
And that's important. And I think that's part of the reason, a lot of the reason why people always want to work with you and, you know, your career has been.
Well, I say, like, the first time I meet everybody, I explain my fives and I do a welcome circle. And I'm, like, a stickler about names and knowing people.
100%.
Like, tell me one thing about you that, like, nobody else knows that you can share in a circle. Like, not getting too deep. But
I want to know.
And
your deepest secret.
Tell me everything. No, but I say their name three times. My dad taught me way long ago. Growing up, he was a politician, and he always told me, when you meet somebody, always say their name three times in the first minute. So I do my welcome circle after I explain my fives. And then I'll say, if Kelly said, my favorite color is green, I would say, Kelly, 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 green, green, green. And then I would remember, Kelly's favorite color is green. And I will say it out loud again to them. And so they know, like, oh, she cares. Because, again, you can attest for this, how many shows, how many choreographers, directors I've worked for, that, like, I was just a number. I was another one of the blondes. And I remember being like, you know what? When it's my turn and I'm on the other side of the table, I'm going to let these people know our job sucks. It's so hard. We live a life of going into audition after audition where people are sitting behind a table judging you. Like, if you don't get the callback or you don't book the job, it's because you weren't good enough or you didn't look the part. Mm-hmm. And that sucks. And that can weigh on a lot of people. So that's 100%. Why I'm like, no, I'm going to make sure that everybody I come in contact with, I make sure I know their name. I know something special about them. And I make sure I know where they are day to day. And I hope that, like, I know it sounds crazy, but, like, I started my fives probably 4 or 5 years ago.
See what she did there, folks? See what she did there?
And I always tell all my performers when I leave, I always say, take this with you. Like, spread the love. Make sure everybody knows that, you know, like, emotions run high in a show that you're working, doing anywhere from 3 to 6 shows a day, 6 days a week, amusement park specifically, or a tour or regional or whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
You're living outside of each other's pockets, you know? Like, there are times that you're like, I'm at a 2, like, get away, you know? But we have that respect now that we know the fives and people care and they know to stay away. And I'm like, take this with you and pass this on to more casts. So I'm like, thinking that at some point it's going to be like the world is on
it's
a
gonna
1 to 5
scale. It's going to go real viral.
It's going to go viral. It's going to be lit.
Let's make this go viral, people. Let's make it go
Let's
viral.
Let's make it happen.
This episode is called Five and Alive.
Five and Alive. Five and Alive. But my third was I asked them how they feel 1 to 5 on their show or the piece that I'm working
on.
Because sometimes if it's right before opening and I have 12 people in front of me and they're all threes, I'm like, okay. What do we need to do to get us to 4s and 5s?
Right.
What don't you feel good about? Is it the music? Is it the choreography? Is it the staging? Is it the costume changes? Is it the people? Like, what do we got to do? So those are the 5s. Ta-da.
Awesome. Ta-da. Ta-da. So I'm sure you gathered through the course of all of that, Amanda is a carny as well.
Professional carny, people.
She's a professional carny. Like I said before, we were in a show together in 2004 at Cedar Point. And that's where we met and fell in love.
That's where the love relationship started there. It was a very emotional affair.
Fell in love.
For everyone involved.
Yes. and we have never lived ever, even like that summer, in the same place or even like within driving distance of one another. And
definitely a plane ride and a layover away. Always.
And we have since then, though, we talk every day, at least once a day.
Maybe three.
Depending upon the day.
Random FaceTimes.
Wine texts. A lot of – she's a Snapchatter, folks.
I am. You guys, I'm a 38-year-old with a real strong, solid Snapchat problem.
Look, I love a Snapchat, but
– and I love a hashtag as well.
All day long.
And
I'm all day long. What is she sending me again?
I just want her to always know exactly what's going on in my
life. I do. I know what's happening all the time, which I – you know, I laugh. We're – making fun of her, or I'm literally making fun of her to her face,
hey,
which is fun.
People, take this with you. If you can't make fun of yourself, you are screwed in this industry.
It is fun to be able to sit here and make fun of her to her face rather than just like,
talk
shit
about me behind my back.
I'm really feeling blessed to be in this moment. But I'm happy to always know what you're doing.
Yes.
It's great.
And I always want to know what you're doing. And when I don't know what you're doing, I want to know even more.
Do you ever think that I died?
No, because you check in a lot, but the fact that you're constantly traveling, that does make me a little nervous. There's a lot of planes in your life.
There are a lot of planes.
There are a lot of planes. There are a lot of rental cars. A
lot of rental cars.
I watch a lot of true crime and listen to a lot of true crime podcasts. And rental cars can be the devil. So
wait, why?
Because murderers take rental cars and they put bodies in them. And then they take them back after they wash out the trunk.
Jesus.
Oh, dude, if you haven't seen Don't Fuck with Cats, watch it. You'll know exactly what I mean.
Oh, I have. And if I ever go missing, that meme that's floating around that's like send boat, what's her body moving and what's his name?
Doesn't
matter. He's totally weird.
John, it's like John Smith or like Mike Smith.
If I go missing, you send those
Luca
people.
Luca Manola.
You send those people for
Manola.
Me.
It's not Manola. Luca
Magnata.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, you send those people for me if I go missing.
Girl, if I don't talk to you for 2 days, I am already
She's gone.
Reaching out to Mary Kay. Mary Kay?
Enrique?
Enrique?
Where's your girlfriend? Yeah, so we have spent the better part of our lives together at this point, I feel.
Yes.
She is, like I said, a carny. And recently has moved into a full-time role with Cedar Point. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. Well, I've worked for Cedar Point for 16 years, for everything from like performer to choreographer director, supervisor. And our dear friend Devette was actually my position, full-time casting director, live entertainment manager. And she decided that she wanted to stay home with her baby girls. And the job, yes, I get it. I have two kids, but they're older now and in school, and I'm able to do more business-like schedules now. I couldn't for a long time because the job opportunity was there a couple times earlier, a couple years ago, but it just wasn't the right time for me. And it became available again, and Devette contacted me about it, and Lisa Jones, our boss, also had reached out to me, and it was the right time. And so now I am full-time with Cedar Point, which is crazy because I've been working for so many of not just Cedar Point, but the other parks as well, which I will totally miss not being able to go to the other parks. But my heart and my home have always been with Cedar Point. I've never missed a season in all these years. I've never missed a season. And there's something very nostalgic about the park. I grew up going there since the time I was a kid, like Kitty Kingdom as a three-year-old. I have pictures of it, you know? And now I take my kids and ride the coasters with my kids and see the shows. And my kids have seen me perform there, which was like a really, really cool experience. Yeah. And it's home to me. The people are like home and love.
I'm so proud of you that you did this.
It's just crazy to think like walked in there in 2002 as a performer in the Aldridge Centennial, and now all these years later, I'm in one of the offices and my plaque on the door, and now I'm the one that's going, all right, this is what we're going to do, and this is how we're going to make it happen, and these are the people that we're going to pick.
It's awesome.
It's awesome. I really, really love it. A lot of travel, but I really love it.
Well, and that'll settle down a little bit, right?
Yes.
So right now we're, you know, for everyone in Carney world, we're in the throes of audition season. And Amanda is currently going from city to city on all of these.
State to state.
Huge, state to state, city to city, all these huge audition, basically combines for you performer types out there. You know what we're talking about.
A1s, SCTC, Midwest, UPTA.
We were just actually at Midwest.
We sit and listen to 3,000 people.
We are just actually together at Midwest today.
We sure were.
Surely an experience.
We are five and alive. We are five and alive.
All
living
day.
Our best life.
All
smiling,
day.
Smiling, clapping. No, there's actually no clapping.
Actually, there was no clapping, which felt weird to me.
I know. People are like, ah, and here's my monologue. And I don't know why I was singing the monologue. We're not singing the monologue. And then next person.
I wanted to applaud. And you know what was with Ninja about it at first? I didn't notice this at first. Like that the next person is cut out and like sitting waiting.
Well, and it's weird that the person is singing while the next person is coming out.
Exactly.
Like it's so distracting.
I was like, how'd you get out there so fast? And then I realized what was happening.
Wait, you're going to need to stay in the wing. Mm-hmm. If the audience can see you. You know that rule, people?
Yeah, it's weird. Real weird.
It was real weird.
So in your new role, how are you choreographing your day-to-day responsibilities? I mean, you are a choreographer, so you know that basically it's just a series of steps. So what's your day like?
Definitely creature of habit.
Yeah.
I have a lot of obsessions and weird things that if I don't do.
My God. You guys.
So my entire life is choreographed.
This girl is
from
crazy.
The time I get out of bed. I'm a big Orange Theory girl, so I like to get up at like 4:30, get to OTF by 5. It's getting harder to do that with my new schedule because I have a commute to Cedar Point every day. But I get out of bed, I work out, get my kids up, showered, ready for school, drop them at school, drive out to the park. I do my whole day, then come home. And on some nights, I still go back to my studio where I've been for 17 years and do choreography and technique.
Yeah.
and then come home, and my husband makes me edamame and steak and pours me a glass of wine, and then I digest my day. I play with my dogs.
Winning guy.
And you think I'm kidding, but this is every day.
It is every day. So, like, do you make a list before you go into work, or are you just, like, winging it?
So I'm a Post-it girl.
A what?
A Post-it girl.
Oh, Post-it notes.
Like, I put everything – like, if you ask my team right now, there are Post-its everywhere on everything.
Gotcha.
I take 1,000 notes. If you look at anything that is paper in front of me, there is blue pen written everywhere.
And because she only uses blue pen.
Only. Because I can't use black.
And she is scared of frogs and all of the things.
Yes. Terrified of frogs and birds, you guys. It's not – it's no joke. No joke. It's bad. It's, like, really bad.
I'm saying mean things under my breath right now.
Not really mean. This is why. This is why we're here for you to make fun. I mean, I've made my life as a carny. Let's talk about it.
It's fine.
So my computer at work has a border of Post-it notes around it. And I'm like a checkmark girl.
Mm, yeah.
Like,
me too.
I get so much satisfaction from, like, doing a checkmark.
Dude.
Like, if I'm sending you a Snapchat that my workout's over, there's probably at least 2 checkmarks on it. Because it feels so good. It's completed. Completed tasks are what I love.
That's so funny that you say that, because a couple episodes ago I was talking to the Wooker twins, and Allie and Taylor and I were talking about the satisfaction that comes from making the box and then checking it.
Oh my God.
Like, the drawing it out. It's silly, but it's great.
But as an adult, like, it was something that it wasn't like a OCD thing as I was growing up, but the older I got, once I had kids and I had, like, a to-do list of everything that needed to be done for them, because obviously they always come first. It was like everything that they needed a day, then mommy list, then dog list, and I have 3 dogs, so it's
a full circus.
It is a circus at my house, but and my husband, like, I got to make sure, like, all of the boxes are checked, everybody's taken care of, and the day was a 5.
Yeah,
like, we made it through the day. With even if there was a flub here and there, it was because I didn't make a box.
It fell on you. It was all about that box.
It's the mom thing.
So, that kind of answers the next question. What factors into your personal and professional goal setting? Just checking those boxes off. Are you a titles person, numbers person?
I would say, like,
and are you an influencer type that you need people to be like, well, Amanda said that I should la 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 la, and so then I did.
No, I guess, like, I would
Regina
rather.
Regina George said that.
I would say, I don't want to say influencer. I would like to think of myself as a motivator.
Yeah.
Like, to keep people, again, like, half glass full and keep them on the up and up and find, like, give people reason to get out of bed in the morning. And if they do say, like, God, how do you do it? Like, you got so much going on. I do it because I do it. You know, like, you have, if you don't have the push and the drive, it's not going to happen. You got to find it somewhere. And no lies, and being completely honest, when I fall short of that, like, I get sad, I get depressed, and it's really, really hard in the colder seasons in Cleveland. Like, everybody has seasonal depression.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I got to do something about it because I can't fall into that.
Right.
So I like to stay motivated, and I would think of myself more as a motivational type of person.
For sure.
I like want to inspire and motivate and just make people, like, think of life as it's a good time, guys.
Having a good time.
Stop taking
here.
It so serious.
It's not serious.
Because the like I said earlier, if you can't make fun of yourself, like, you're screwed in this business or in life in general.
Yeah.
Like, sure. I'm here to have a good time. I'm always, like, the one that's like, you got, it's not really that big of a deal.
No.
Like, just chill out. We're gonna figure it out. Everything gets done. At the end of the day, especially in Carney World, when you have 2 weeks to put a huge production together. When it's 2 days before we open, guess what? It's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
That curtain's going to open in 2 days. And
it's and you're going to be standing there in a bevel and you're going to like it.
Yes. Your feet are going to be fierce. Your makeup's going to be on fleek. You're going to figure out the costume changes. Because if you don't, you don't. And we're going to move on with life.
And if you don't, probably no one will know the difference.
Correct.
Correct.
Other than me. And we might have words afterwards.
I was about to say, except for us. We'll know. And we're going to be pissed. Just kidding. We'll be fine. Everybody's going to be fine.
Everybody's going to be fine.
Might burn your whole park down, but it's fine.
This is true.
That was just really aggressive. I'm sorry. It's been a long day.
It has been a long day.
So what makes you feel the most fulfilled at the end of the day? Not necessarily a long day like today, because that was not fulfilling. Today was not fulfilling. I'm not going to lie about it. Today was draining.
It can give you an empty feel.
Yeah.
It can give you a very...
I feel a little empty right now inside. Yes. This is bringing me all back up right now. But
we'll just fill her up with wine.
Yeah, or that. So what makes you feel the most fulfilled, though, at the end of the day, for real?
I think that if I accomplish the goals that I've set, I drive an hour to work. Mm-hmm. So it gives me a lot of time to... digest like everything I have to get done.
Yeah.
And if I can fulfill all of those, if I started my day right, waking up, getting the kids off to school, making sure my husband knows I love them, feeding the dogs, getting to work, doing X, Y, and Z, coming home. If I hit the studio and everybody's on point and happy and I get to come home and like sit down and not feel like sitting down would be a bad choice because I still have 15 other things I could be doing. I think it's a good day. I feel fulfilled. I feel happy. And I've always said that my biggest happiness is being able to like just sigh and feel like nothing is tightening. I don't have agita. I don't have like anxiety.
Please, okay, pause. I need you to break down the word agita for the people because
it's just tightening of your chest. I like to compare it to like, have you ever gotten pulled over? Yes.
Yeah.
It's
remember
that feeling.
Every time I've gotten pulled over, I've gotten into a fight with a cop.
Yeah, I do.
Not a physical fight.
But she gets snappy.
I just get mouthy a little bit. I'm sure everyone's shocked.
Totally shocked. This is my surprise face. No one can see it, but we all know it looks like this.
Much like episode one, a lot of Botox.
A lot of Botox, people.
Bringing it all full circle.
Get those injections.
Yeah. Carny life.
Botox life. There's a lot of wrinkles from that.
It's fine.
That's why we got to freeze it.
Yeah.
But no, it's just tightening of the chest. It's like if you're about to get in trouble when you were a kid, that feeling, or getting pulled over. Like sometimes if I sit down and I have not been fulfilled throughout the day and I've hit 15 different walls and don't know how to get out, when I sit down, I feel like I'm about to have a panic attack.
Yeah.
Just because I feel like I'll get super overwhelmed and then I'm like, crap, like, oh my God. And then my loving husband, Jay, will be like, babe, it's going to be okay. Take a breath. And I still can't take a breath, but he's trying.
He's trying.
You guys, we got to give him some support.
he's a good dude.
He's a good
dude. I like Mr. J. Speaking of Mr. J, he might fall into this category, but who are some of your biggest mentors or sources of inspiration?
I would say, I know that this sounds like quirky and all that, but like you are definitely an inspiration because from day one, like she was kicking her face and like when we would rehearse. It was when we would open. We would do warm-ups, and I was dance captain, and I would lead warm-ups, and then Kelly would be like, we should do turn combinations, like, to warm us up.
Like
she'd be
an like, asshole.
She's Miss Dance Team, and she'd be like, okay, so in my world, it's who can make up the hardest turn combination and do it. And, of course, she would, like, kick everybody's ass and change her spot 17 times. And I was like, God.
Yeah, you
like,
dancers out there, I used to be able to do those things.
1,000%. Sometimes my daughter is such an amazing turner that I'm like, did you actually come out of Kelly and not me? Because I was never – like, I was like a solid 4. I stopped there, people. Alyssa Cones, I can change my spot 3 times, then done. Kelly can do 17 and then reverse it. I'm like, can I like maybe tumble kick my face and stylize the hell out of anything? But I still think I was a good turner, but not you. Yeah. Like you're insanity.
That's just because somebody told me I was bad at it one time and I was like, oh yeah?
Yeah. That is not true. But she was very inspiring in that way where I was like, I like need to pull up more. And then throughout life, like you did everything you said you were going to do. Like you've checked all your boxes. Like,
No, I have so much to do.
Well, duh.
Yeah.
But I mean, you never like this. You've been talking about it and then you're like, okay, I'm just going to do it. I'm going to take the plunge. I'm going to start working at this park. I'm going to work at all these studios. I'm going to judge. I'm going to go to all these colleges and high schools and teach all the things. I mean, it's inspiring for somebody that other than living in LA for a very short time, I've been in Cleveland my whole life, you know? So I'm like, there's only so far I can remove myself out of the box. So I kind of like live vicariously through.
Yeah, but you helped like make a lot of that happen for me.
Well, I think that we inspire each other.
I agree. 100%.
And it goes back to that, like, you know, motivation and inspiration.
Yeah.
Solid.
Yeah.
I also would say my dad has a really big influence on my life.
Mm-hmm.
He's always been 100,000 million, not a number, but I can say that because Dan R. deserves his own number. My dad, Dan R. involved in my life and he was the dad that was putting my hair in a bun, taking me to ballet. And he's always supported me. He really, other than a child, you know, telling me like, no, don't do that. The stove is hot. He's never said, I don't think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
He's supported me, never turned his back on me. I think that he's one of the only people that I can say in my life that I not only aspire to be like, because he's incredible and so smart and amazing. Like, he's always supported me.
Yeah.
Never turned his back. Not once.
It's amazing.
Even when I'm like, hey, cool, I'm going to get in a snowman suit and tap dance to Frosty the Snowman. He's like, I think that's a great choice for your career right now.
And in addition to your dad being awesome, he is also kind of hot.
I've gotten that a couple times, Kelly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes. You and Bryn both are like, Dan R.
Good looking dude.
I come from good genes. My parents are, they have taken care of themselves well.
They have.
Yes. And so my mom's a big part of that too.
That said, let's talk about Mo.
Yep. My mom, dancer, choreographer.
Badass.
Director. Yep. Badass. And she, big influence in my life, kind of followed in her footsteps and went in a different direction. She stayed with musical theater and I decided to do a bigger scale.
Mm-hmm.
And she's always supported me. She tells me, just read her Facebook post. I mean, it's constantly how proud she is of me. So she's obviously I'm doing something right.
She's very proud. We have very proud parents, yes. Which is awesome. That is a good thing, though.
I would say, and last but not least, I would say the other half to my best friendship would be Bryn.
Yeah. Bryn's awesome.
She's a very successful entrepreneur, and she's like you. That's why the two of you are literally the salt and pepper, the blonde and the brunette. Do everything that they say that they're going to do. They're boss-ass bitch, and, like, everybody loves you, but everybody is also like, yeah, you guys are scary, smart, and talented, and I like to surround myself by people that are going to push me. I never want to be the smartest person in the room. I never want to be the most attractive person in the room. I never want to be the best in the room. I want to surround myself with people that are going to be push me to be the next level. I don't like feeling comfortable.
Well, you are a lot of those things all the time. So.
No, I don't think so.
Well, regardless, this is where you get to come to your ego. But it's important to
surround yourself by powerful people.
100%.
If you want to be that person that's, like, I have to be the smartest, the prettiest, the most talented. Again, this is not your world, because I think that forever, as a dancer, as a singer, as a performer, like, even though I don't do those things like I used to, I could continue to learn from people like Marge.
Yeah.
From people that are above and beyond. I hate this whole like master teacher thing, if you want to touch on that. Like that we have 21-year-olds that are teaching master classes. I have some issues with that because you have not mastered anything unless your name is Bob Fosse.
Yeah.
And you have come up with a style that has transitioned into, it hasn't.
Oh,
because
it hasn't.
There's one way to do it, people.
No, I could not agree with you more.
You are not, because you are somebody that wears a giant bow on your head, that you should be teaching a master class.
Yeah. No.
You have not mastered anything. I need you to go back and take some class and actually, like, could you read a book about the history of dance and then tell it back to me? Oh, no, you couldn't, because you learned from going to a convention and now you're a master teacher and we should spend $250 per kid for these kids to go and take class.
Yeah, nah.
Am I right or am I wrong?
No, you're right. I mean, I even at like –
I'm a little passionate about that.
Well, I was going to say, like, even for me, and I know you feel this way too, like, we are asked to teach master classes a lot, or things are like presented as master classes.
Right.
And it's so like uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
To for say sure. Like, I'm going to teach a master class. But that's the terminology, unfortunately. But like, because I don't think I'm a master, and I know you feel the same way. Like,
I think I always say that I'm a dance educator.
100%.
I'm a dance educator.
Yeah.
I, when it's labeled as a master class, I do come back sometimes and say, please join Amanda Recco Downing for a class in musical theater, jazz, contemporary, like whatever it is, because I feel like master is
it's a hard word.
A strong word, it's and there should word. There's a very small, tiny percentage of people that fall into that.
Yeah, I agree, 100%. And I know this is not gonna, it's not the same, but what is the biggest piece of advice that you would give someone who's choosing your position or career path or project that you're currently involved in?
I would say that you have to be okay with not performing.
Have to be okay
if you're going to be, if you want to teach dance, if you want to choreograph or you want to direct, get performing out of your system first.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of dancers that teach that shouldn't be because they're phenomenal dancers, but not every great dancer is a great dance teacher. When I first started teaching, I hated it because I was still, I was like setting combos to things that looked good on me. I was only watching myself in the mirror. And I continued to perform throughout that and eventually got to the point where I was okay with letting performing go because I was pregnant with my daughter. And I was like, maybe I should stop performing.
Maybe.
Maybe that should be a thing. But I would say that anybody that's going down this other side of it path, get it out of your system, wait, perform, take class, do all of that. As long as you can. And then once you can be on the other side and be like, yeah, I'm good to be in the seats watching and get that totally different feeling of when you're backstage about to perform, like that whole I gotta pee and I can't wait for it.
Yeah.
To, oh my God, I'm gonna pee, I can't wait for it, sitting in the seat, like watching your performers or your show come out.
Yeah.
Like once that's the feeling that you get, I would say that it's a good decision. And if you're going like the directing, casting director, know that it's a lot of sitting. So get your OTF in.
Guys. Get it done because calorie will be burned.
Correct.
Yeah. Although, you know, I looked at my watch today and I somehow, don't know how, burned 479 calories today.
I've closed my green ring. Probably because I was running at 5 a.m. this morning.
Well, I didn't do that. I just ran.
You were on a plane. That's true.
I did catch a flight this morning. Catch flights, not feelings. It's my favorite filter.
Oh, my God. Why have I not heard that?
I don't know.
It's pretty incredible.
So stupid. So what is it about you that makes you special to your position or your project or, you know, like whatever it is you're doing? What do you think?
I think that when it comes to the Cedar Point full-time position, I think because I know the park, I love the park, I've been there forever. I don't think that anything makes me special in the role other than, like, I love what I do.
Oh,
I love this park. I love theater, amusement park theater at that. I love the production value. I love the people. So it's more of a, like, what makes me special about it is just I have the heart for it.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people are not going to come into this role and be like, I can do this. I can do all this traveling and hire 158 performers and care about everybody and make sure everybody's great and manage it all. I feel like I'm there for it.
Yes.
Like we're going to be fives all season. It's going to be great. And I think I bring that energy into the office too.
You absolutely do. And you're walking into the big old season of 158. It's going
to
be great though.
And I think as a teacher, like what I bring to it is even before I was a mom, like I felt like these dancers were my kids. Like I loved them like family. Mm-hmm. I've always been very much, I know my dancer. I know their brothers and sisters. I know their cat. I know their dog. I know their parents. I care about every one of the families. And the owner of my studio, Susan Barr, has three daughters that have been like little sisters to me. And she very much she makes sure everybody knows that Above the Bar is all about family. That's and great. All about being a team and caring about everybody. And so I think that that makes me different going back to that whole, like, I want everybody to know that they're important and all, and I care about them, and that's how I am.
And that's how you should be.
And
there's the tea.
There's the tea. Can I get some sweetener?
Oh, man. Ooh. Oh, boy. All right. So as a performer, what was your favorite role or persona or song or show you ever did?
I guess my last show that I did at Cedar Point in Halloweekends, I was blessed enough to finally get my brother on stage with me. So my brother and I performed in a Halloweekends rock show in the Red Garter Saloon. And not only did him and I get to perform together every weekend, 5 to 6 shows a day, we had such a blast. The entire cast was phenomenal. But it was really the first time my kids saw me, like, they were old enough to know that it was, like, mommy on stage and, like, their, like, big wide eyes and me being able to, like, go up and sing to them and look at both of them with just, like, this beaming, like, excited yeah. happiness. And they could see, like, that side of mommy.
It's
awesome.
They could
see pictures and video, but, like, live and in person. And then Uncle Dano is up there.
I bet they were just, like, shook.
The pictures are pretty funny.
They're like,
they're like, whoa. But I would have to say that was my favorite.
All right. Well, now you're on the other side, as you were talking about. So let's talk about auditions, since that's kind of, like, where we sit in this time of life. What are some of your audition pet peeves?
All right. Listen up, people.
Listen up. Ladies and gentlemen.
I'm going to do a master class in what not to wear. All right. Listen to me. Please. I have seen probably 7,000 people,
Turn
no joke,
up.
In the past 6 weeks. Stop wearing oversized clothes that we cannot see what your body is. If you're auditioning as a dancer, stop wearing huge stuff. I get it that you're so like VSCO or whatever.
And you love Billie Eilish.
Yes, but please stop doing it. We're casting, like, it's not just amusement parks, it's tours, it's theaters. Like, we want to see what your body looks like. Don't whore it out and wear some tiny stuff, but let's rock some characters and a Leo. Like,
yeah.
I'm a solid Leo. That would be great.
And brush your hair.
Okay. Now we're going to talk about your face. I need you to put some makeup on, put a color on your lip, some blush, some lashes. Yes, ladies, put the lashes on.
I could give a whole TED talk about an eyelash.
Yes. Stop just putting mascara on. And don't get that weird mascara that everybody sees on Facebook that it, like, gets longer and longer and longer. That shit is not real. I need you to put your lashes on and bevel it out. Connect your bevel. Stand there looking solid with a slicked hair. Like, slick your hair back. I don't want the flyaways. Like, you need to look pulled up. And now it's like this messy bun or this like half bun situation. I can't do it. It's not a good look on anyone. I need you to resort back to like Anne Reinking. Like, go look her up and then
come back
to me. And during your singing auditions, same thing. I know the 80s are coming back, and trust me, I lived it. Stop dressing like it at auditions.
And I'm gonna need you to color coordinate yourself a little bit, girls, specifically.
Yes.
And gentlemen, let me just...
I need to not be able to see your package. Let's just be honest.
Saw a lot today.
A lot. And
there's
I've been seeing it
things.
Nonstop. The pants are so tight that I'm not concentrating on your song or your monologue because I'm uncomfortable to look at you.
I'm here for a fitted pant. And I'm even here for a high water pant, like the ankle.
Oh, yeah.
I like
you
that.
You got fun socks. You got good shoes. I'm all
Sell
about it.
Sell it to me, but good night.
Good and night. You guys, steamers are our friends. If you're traveling to an audition, and I get that because a lot of these combines, people are from all over, bring a steamer. Or maybe call the hotel ahead of time and say, do you have a steamer or an iron?
Or maybe, life hack, close the bathroom door, turn the shower on really, really
there
hot.
You go,
you're not
go.
Paying for
ding,
the
ding,
water
ding, ding, ding.
Anyway, and just let it go. Come on.
Elsa it out, guys. Let it go.
Let it go. Don't do it. Don't do it. I wanted to.
Let it go.
Not going to. Not going to.
So
okay, so along that same line, and I know you've been looking at a lot of them because your snaps will tell that tale.
Oh, snap.
Get real about the real.
Snap?
Yeah. Oh,
guess
your
what
Snapchat.
I'm doing right now. Oh, Snapchat.
Fantastic. So get real about the real. Like, what's working, what's not on audition reels?
Okay. Audition reels. I would say that the worst is when you are giving me if you're sending me choreography that has nothing to do with what we do. Like, mm-hmm. Research who you're sending it to.
Yeah.
Don't send me a pas de deux. Like, I can do nothing with that. I can do, like, you're beautiful, but can you hip hop? Can you musical theater? Can you jazz funk?
Yeah.
Like, know who you're sending it to.
Right.
If you just have one kind of reel and you're sending it out to a bunch of different companies, a lot of them are going to get overseen because the first thing on it is you doing a point solo. And we're like, sorry.
What's happening?
Other than I think Aaron Qualhorst did a point solo in Starstruck, the first one. Or the third one. I don't know.
What's happening?
And also, I don't know if your professors are doing this because this was not something in our day. The whole introduction thing. Now it's part of the reels that you give me a 5-minute dissertation on your life.
Oh, no. I don't need all that. We'll learn that in the circle up if you get hired.
I get my email all day is ta-ding, ta-ding, ta-ding. So,
it's my audition reel.
So I'm getting them all day, every day. I don't have time to listen to all of the things. I don't have time. But if I hire you, I want to know everything about you.
But not until then.
Right. Because I don't I wish I had time. I don't want to go back on what I said but and make it sound like I'm insensitive. But a lot of the time it's like 19-year-olds and they're like, so I'm 19 and I go to the University of Michigan and my mom was a country singer, so I wanted to be and I can't, yeah. You guys, I don't have time. Get to the good stuff. Get to the good stuff.
Let me hire
and
you.
And stop singing I Love Betsy or I'll Be Your Right-Hand Man. Please. Or monologues about penises or vaginas.
Like, and everybody's uncomfortable. The cussing today.
Oh, my God. The cussing. Stop. We get it. Everybody can swear. Stop swearing in your monologues to make a point. We get it. You're big kids now.
It's uncomfortable.
You're allowed.
For everyone.
But please, dropping F-bombs nonstop does not want me – does not make me want to hire you at my family park. And everybody in the audience is hiring family things. Well, correct. For the most part.
Yes, correct. What's the importance of continuing to take class post-high school/college?
You're never going to master all of the things. Keep taking class, especially teachers, educators. If you're not taking class, you're stuck in the time that you were taking technique.
Correct.
And dance is evolving every single year. That if you're not going to a convention or going to even a traditional ballet class, shout out Dee Hillier. Like she's a chick, an older woman back in Cleveland that she's been doing professional classes on Thursdays every week. And she's doing all of the old school stuff, but she is training educators to teach that as well to the kids, like make sure they know how to do a proper pas de bourrée and a proper pirouette and turns in second or whatever. But again, if you want to be successful in this, you've got to know the new stuff too.
100%. And here's the good news, not to cut you off and be all Kelly Clarkson about it. She's always cutting people off. It drives me crazy.
Is she really?
Yes. I love the Kelly Clarkson show, by the way. It's great. But
I've never watched it. Do I need to watch it? Yeah, I'm too busy watching true crime.
She's pretty great.
And trying to figure out how I'm going to die of a serial killer.
Well, she's – but her show is great. But she is always interrupting the guests. I'm like, shh, quiet. Although I do like Kelly. I don't know. Anyway.
I like Kelly.
Back to this point.
She's an odd cat. Go ahead.
Anyway, back to the point at hand. If you can't get yourself to class because, I don't know, you're busy or you can't afford it or whatever your case may be.
They're online.
YouTube. www.youtube.com. Yes. You can watch all the things. All of it.
And if you're a teacher that doesn't know how to teach something, please stop watching kids on YouTube or kids at competition. Do it and then try to figure it out. I guarantee it. You can find the how to go from A to Z in the whole transition of whatever movement you're doing. I see it so much. I'm an acro buff and I am so sick of seeing people like self-taught.
Right.
It's so dangerous. It's so dangerous.
It's so scary out
Get
there.
A book, people. Look it up.
Scary out there in
Stop
this
trying
world.
To figure it out.
When you're teaching a class, like I'll use the term masterclass very loosely, but if you're teaching a class or you're in a convention or whatever, above and beyond talent, what makes a dancer stand out to you in the room?
The it factor. I mean, you have it or you don't. I was just telling my daughter 2 weeks ago. When
Who
she had a
has it?
But my mom always told me, growing up, and I was telling her the same thing. You're blonde and you have a beautiful body. You don't have light eyes and dark hair. You don't have like
anything ethnic, exotic like, about you.
Yes,
yeah.
There's nothing exotic about you. How are you going to make yourself different? You better bring it at all times.
Yeah.
And I would say that I mean, you can't teach the it factor. You know, you either have it or you don't. And it's the passion. It comes from within. Like, yeah. I can tell a solid dancer, a beautiful dancer, from a non, but maybe the non has the passion and, like, the solid does. I don't care if you're kicking your face and you're turning your face off, but, like, you're dead behind the eyes. And this other girl is pottering the shit out of the stage. And I'm like, right. I want her because she is living her best life.
So what's it like having a daughter with the it factor? Give us the lowdown on Peen. Guys, she's silly.
She was Petite Miss Dance of America.
She's okay. She's all right. Slash, she's incredible.
It's incredible. And my son is equally as talented in sports. It's my mom used to say this to me too. Like, it's so hard to tell people that you have such talented children because everybody goes, oh, of course. But then when you, like, actually do,
yeah,
you're like, no, seriously. They're like superhuman. We call Christiana and Jude superhuman. But with her being in this line of work, and her following in what it seems to be like the family footsteps, it's so wonderful because we have that in common. But she has a target on her back, and mm-hmm. it's really, really emotionally draining for me when I watch her sometimes at competition or convention, because everybody just expects her to win. Everybody expects it to be her. So I think she's too young. She's 11. She's too young yet to really be able to process it. But it's like she's not allowed to have an off day. And if right. she does have an off day, everyone's like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
Yeah.
And sometimes I wish that she could, like, just cruise. Fall in the middle and everyone just be excited that she danced. But that's not how it is. And right. it's like that with Jude too. Like, their dad is an incredible athlete. And if he has even a little bit off of a game, it's, well, why? Well, why? But, like, yeah. Johnny in center field misses every catch. And they're like, good job, Johnny. Good job. Jude misses a catch and they're like, what's going on with Jude? Yeah. It's the same thing with Peen. Yeah. If she's off by a count, her choreographer, if it's not me, is down her throat. But, you know, girl in upstage left is on 7 and everybody else is on 2.
Right.
And we're just going to congratulate her for going out on stage. Here's your trophy.
Right, right, right. No, that's tough. What's your favorite all-time word, phrase, or quote? Do you have something you live by other than 5 and 11?
Five and alive?
No, but I feel like you have more than that.
I have a lot of little sayings, but they just, like, portray to, like, the situation. I'm, whether it be dance or carny life or momhood. There's so many, Kelly.
There's so many. I know there's we'll be so here all many, night. But we have a whole night ahead of us.
I could write a book on all of just
you
my.
Should.
Okay. Are you motivating me and inspiring
no
me?
No work at all. Let me just tell you, I've only been working on one since 2013. It's a lot.
Maybe you should write my book for me. Oh. We could just sit and do this, and then you write it, and I'll just talk.
Wouldn't that be fun?
That would be. Would there be wine involved? Because we might never get it done. No, we'll see you guys in 2035.
See you never. See you never. Bye.
See you never.
All right. Let's talk about the hashtag thank for of it all. What are the 4 things that you're thankful for today?
Today?
Today. And they can change day to day. But what is it today?
I would say I woke up and was able to work out. And I got to work out alone in the gym by myself, which was nice.
That's awesome.
Yes.
That never happens.
Never. Number 2 would – I'm very thankful for my team that's here.
Mm-hmm.
Dan, Brandon, and David Foster are incredible. They keep me smiling. They keep me upbeat. They keep me laughing. And they make my job very easy.
You have a mess of a team on your hands.
I do.
In the best way possible. They're so awesome.
But I also met all of the Six Flags team and – they are fantastic.
And you totally understand why I'm, like, always hanging out with it's like you. Like, that's where I grew up. Like, right. That's my home.
I get it. Yeah. It's very homey and nostalgic. And I get it. Like, they were fantastic. Shout out to them. I love them.
Yeah.
I want to come to Six Flags and just hang out with them.
You should.
And really. See all of the shows, of course. my number 3 would be I got to FaceTime with my kids, and they are – 2 of the funniest kids, just the funniest humans. And they, like, love They love me. I love them. We have an incredible relationship. And even though I'm traveling so much right now, they get it and they keep me on the up and up. And my husband constantly supporting me and loving me and telling me everything's going to be okay at all times. Jay is, he's like, I'm half glass full. He's glass full.
Aww.
He is glass full. He finds the good in everything, the good in every person. He, no matter how stressed out I am or his team or somebody's working with or a friend or his mom or his siblings, he's able to talk anyone off a ledge.
That's so awesome. He's a good dude.
He's incredible, and he's incredibly talented, and he's so smart. He has the most common and strange knowledge ever. Like, like if you ask him a question, he knows the answer or, like, the stat or football anything. But then if you're like, hey, what time is it? He's like, do you know what time it is in Europe right now? Do you want to talk about how the clock was invented? And like, should we like, and he will go.
Actually, no.
No, just, babe, just the solid time. But he not only, like, talking to him today, it sucks being away from him, but he's holding down the fort and I miss him and he misses me, but he takes care of everything when I'm gone. Like, and he is the stepdad and he still steps in and takes care of the kids. And
amazing.
Our son wrestles, and Jude didn't wrestle today, and Jay still went out and coached his wrestling team. Aww. Without Jude there. Like, that's the kind of man he is.
Aww.
And again, I never get to see you quite enough, but we have an incredible virtual relationship.
It seems weird. That it seems sounds, like a shady chat room.
It does. It sounds like the dark internet. Is that a thing? I think, yeah, that's where the don't mess with cats thing comes from.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we don't have a virtual relationship. We have.
It's kind of virtual, though.
I know, but we never get to see. Well, we have gotten
gotten to see each other more lately, definitely, which is great. More. And, you know, like, being in the whole Cedar Fair family now, like, which you brought me into very much, which I cannot thank you enough for, because I have met some of the most incredible people of all time. I mean,
girl, you need to get on this train.
Two of whom have already been on this podcast. You've heard from Clayton first, and then you heard from Ryan Allen, and here we are with the girl who brought all of that together. And, like, I personally could not be more thankful for that, because it's just great. Like, I love all of the people. And
well, when Brent was like, can we have another of you? And I'm like,
yep.
Yes.
Actually. Funny you should say that.
I do have a twin in St. Louis. This is when you're
shorter. She's just shorter. Kind of saltier, maybe.
Way prettier.
No, stop it.
And I'm like, not only can you reach out to her, but, like, she can do all the things. And now she is doing all the things.
Doing a few things. It's fine.
Just a few.
No, I'm having a great time. And I cannot thank you enough. Okay. Last but not least, this or that. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you questions and you just have to answer. You can't think about it.
Oh, my God. Is this like a game?
Yeah. Okay. So you can't think about it.
Most competitive girl you've ever met in your life? Me. Two thumbs. This girl.
Here we go.
You just said game.
All right. Miller or Coors Light?
Ew.
Go on. Answer it.
Oh, Coors.
Okay. Daily's Pub or Thirsty Pony?
Daily's.
All right. Winterfest or Haunt?
Winterfest.
Okay.
Wait.
Well, you guys don't call it Haunt, do you?
We call it Halloweekends. I got thrown off.
Winterfest or Halloweekends?
Halloweekends.
Okay. Britney circa Hit Me Baby One More Time or Britney circa Toxic?
Toxic.
Okay. Ooh, this, I don't want you to consider anything other than the layout of things, because it could,
like, in the hotel room?
What?
In the hotel room?
No, like what I'm about to say, I don't want you to consider the people there, because I know you love them at both places.
Oh, are you going to say Carowinds or Kate?
I want. Yep.
I 1000% plead the fifth. Like, I will not.
Okay.
I love them both.
I know. So they're different, though. They're very different. It's so different.
But, like, the same at the same time.
Yeah.
And I will say, like, different because, obviously, different personalities. Things aren't really run a whole lot different. But, like, the same is walking into both those parks and not knowing anybody there, mm-hmm, both times. everybody immediately was like, okay, you're part of the family.
And leaving part of the family, yeah. No.
And I immediately was. And I love those people so much.
I could not agree more.
Chatting with Amanda Jenkins today.
She's great. Honestly,
I
said,
to see all of them next week. I cannot wait.
You're so excited. But no, that's why I'm saying you can't consider the people there. I'm talking about the park itself.
Oh,
Because I know, when you start factoring in human beings, pretend like they're not nary a human being in sight.
King's Dominion.
Yeah.
Okay. That Eiffel Tower will get you.
It's cute.
And I really like their, the way that it goes like around by like the Camp Snoopy area. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I like that whole section over there.
Gotcha.
And I love Carowinds, but I get lost in Carowinds constantly.
Really?
Unless I can make it to the bridge with all the lights.
See, so I feel like
and there's
maybe,
a lot of hills.
I feel like maybe I have a different answer to that. I might say Carowinds just because it feels a little bit more intimate. But
I think Katie's seems way more intimate.
Really?
Carowinds, I get lost.
I don't know how you're getting lost at Carowinds.
Wait, Shayla's going to call me on this. We did get lost at
Carowinds. I was about to be like, wait, hold up.
All right. Shayla and I actually walked around the Eiffel Tower 3 times before I figured out, like,
that you were walking. Jesus. So, okay, this is a funny story. Once upon a time, 2004, I was in a car with Amanda.
Oh, Jesus.
And
you guys, I am no Magellan.
And that's the punchline. So we went to Toledo one night because we would have Kelly and Amanda nights. That happened on Wednesday. Nobody else got to come. But we decided that we should take it to Toledo one night, which was a terrible decision. Although I do remember going through the McDonald's drive-thru, which was really clutch in that moment.
Okay, well, that's good because we were just talking about what we ate that summer and neither one of us could remember.
We did eat McDonald's.
We did?
We did, yeah. Okay, well, that's good. At least that night. We did eat it one time. But you always would say, I'm no Magellan. Like, I don't know what you want me to say.
I actually would say, I'm no magician. And then I was corrected. It's actually Magellan.
That. All right. Okay. Moving on. Okay. You have to pick on stage or off stage for you.
Right now in my life?
No. Which do you prefer? Being on stage or being off stage?
Right now in my life?
Yeah.
Right now would be off stage.
Okay. Botox or Juvederm?
Botox.
Okay.
Actually, not Botox. Zeman.
Oh, okay. I don't know what that is.
It's like Botox with less rat poisoning.
We like that. Okay. Now, this is not really a this or that, but you got to pick a favorite dog.
I guess I would have to go with Veda because Veda.
She's been around the longest.
Yeah. And when I was going through a divorce, I got her as like my support animal. Yeah. When my kids were with their dad. So she's been around the longest and she was just there when I would be like, and she's like, let me just be cute and I'll snuggle you.
How happy are you that I didn't say Christiana or Jude?
I would be like,
what a serial killer.
She is a serial killer. That rental car is going to come in handy.
Amazing. Thank you so much for doing this today.
Absolutely. This was so fun.
Well, you'll have to come back. We'll do this again. We'll definitely do this again.
Five and Alive. We need, it should be.
You might as well come on once a week.
Girl,
I don't have time for that. Don't have time for that.
But
we could.
It needs to be like another five. What's today? Is it the 22nd?
Yeah.
That's my lucky number. Oh, my God. 22.
Amanda Dance 22.
That's why I'm Amanda Dance 22.
Amanda Dance 22. What's your Insta? Amanda Dance 22.
Amanda Dance 22. 22.
What's your email?
AmandaReco at Gmail or Amanda.Reco at CedarPoint.com.
Everybody email her. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for being here this week for Choreograph Your Life. We hope that you have enjoyed this episode. It has been a lot of fun. Thank you again to Amanda Reco Downing. If you would like to get in contact with her, please feel free to do so via Instagram or her email that we just shared. Next week, same time, same place, wherever you download your favorite podcasts, please feel free to leave a rating or a review. In the meantime, continue to have an awesome day. Thanks, everybody.